This morning we are going to talk about a story that was a little, it was a tough one for me in some ways to get into this week. And for guys, this is a more rare occurrence than it is for the ladies among us, because really our sacred book is filled with stories about lots of guys. Lots of guys doing guy things, and sometimes it's just easy. It's a little easier than for us to connect for whatever reason. But our story today is a story that only has, well, really two main characters, and they're both women. That's kind of a unique experience for a man like myself. And so we're actually gonna do something a little different this morning. Also because it's just a great story to do this. We've done this before, but we've engaged in a practice called Lectio Divina, which means spiritual reading or sacred reading. Another word for this might be doing a contemplative or imaginative or an Ignatian reading of the story of Mary visiting Elizabeth. I'm going to read the story in just a minute. I'm going to share a few ideas, and then we're going to read through the story again together, and I'm going to ask you to put yourself in the story, to experience the story. And I want to encourage you to, whether you're a man or a woman, to engage with this story. Just find a way to enter into it and see what God has to say to you within that story. And not just say to you, but for you to experience within that story. This past summer, we looked at St. Ignatius of Loyola, and this is part of his spiritual practice. We talked about how he would encourage people to come on a month-long retreat, and what they would do each week was spend the whole week getting into these different stories from the Gospels about Jesus. And going deep, deep, deep. And the idea is eventually, the more you do it, the longer you do it, everything fades away and you are just with Christ. Now, that's hard to manufacture on a Sunday morning in about 20 minutes. So I don't want you to have great expectations for everything that could happen and how you should or ought to meet with God. But I also want you to maybe think, maybe God might meet me in this story. And especially as you practice it this week, maybe even you go back to it and you say, God, I want to spend some more time with you in that story and see what happens. So here's our gospel story for the day, our encounter. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town. I should say in those days, this is right after she gets the announcement that she's pregnant or going to be pregnant. Where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. So just a reminder, Elizabeth is the wife of Zechariah, who is the priest that we met earlier in chapter 1, who receives this announcement from the angel that they thought that Elizabeth was barren, but in their old age, they're going to have a child, and this is going to be John the Baptist. And she's a cousin, we think. She's some sort of relative of Mary, and so Mary goes to visit her immediately following her news that she's pregnant as well. I wanted to spend just a moment and look at the verbs. I know that's super exciting to a lot of you, but if you're kind of a language literature nerd like myself, this is a thing we do. Because the story is filled with really a lot of action and a lot of energy. And I just want to talk a little bit about some of these words before we do the imaginative reading. The first word is, it says, "In those days, Mary set out and went with haste." And that's a word about eagerness, that she is eager to go and share with this other woman who they are mutually together participating in the work of God together. And she wants to go. She like, it's almost like you picture her running out and saying, I gotta share this with someone else who knows what I'm going through. The next words or verbs are in verse 41. So she gets there. Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. I'm going to skip the child leaping in her womb for just a minute. And it says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry. In the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, almost every time someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, it leads to a prophetic word. So this happens to John the Baptist. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he proclaims this message. It happens to Zechariah a little bit later on, once he stops being mute. It says he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to see next week he sings this song. It's used of Jesus in Luke 4. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he preaches his sermon on Isaiah 61. And then it's used in Pentecost, in Acts, where they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and then what happens? They come out and they proclaim the good news about Jesus. So the filling of the Holy Spirit in Luke always leads to this prophetic word, this exclamation of what God has done and is doing. Third and fourth words that I want to look at are both translated the same, but they mean actually very different things. And that's the word blessed. So if you look up here, right here. So in red, what we have as blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. That is the word eulogetos. You don't have to remember that. But what you need to know is that eulogetos is a word that indicates that God has kind of reached out and blessed someone. Reached out and touched and changed their life in some way, or done something for them. It's a covenant word. It's about how God has like acted in the Exodus for the people of Israel. It's about God's action towards a person. And it's usually very specific and personal, which is a little bit different than the word that you see in yellow here. She says, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. That's a different word. That's the word makarios. And that's the word we see, for instance, in Jesus's in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. And this is a different kind of word. It's a wisdom word. It's actually the first word of Psalm 1. And the word in Hebrew is Asher. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the way of the wicked, but who meditates day and night on the law of the Lord. And this word is a wisdom word, and it's about being kind of rooted in goodness. So let's just maybe picture it this way. The first word, eulogetos, is like God watering a garden. So you're the plant, and God waters you. It's like God comes and does something to bless you. The other word, makarios, is like the soil, where you're just in it, and you flourish because it's good soil. So these are two very different but very important words. So again, it's God's particular personal action towards you and the state of human flourishing that happens when God's covenant people are rooted in God's wisdom. Finally, we're going to see that one again, by the way, the second one in the Magnificat next week. The last word I want to look at is leaped. And that's just, there's no like deep Greek meaning for this, but the picture is just phenomenal, right? The child in my womb leaped for joy. I mean, what a beautiful picture of John when he senses in somehow, some way, the Lord's nearness to him. He leaps for joy. All right, so that's all my stuff that I wanted to share with you about this story. But now we're going to, kind of with some of that knowledge in mind, we're going to enter into the story. You're welcome to close your eyes, or there are images that are going to go along. Actually, why don't we put the next one up right now? There's going to be images that go along with it as I read, so you're welcome to either use those images to help you get into the story or close your eyes, whatever you want to do. I'm going to read a verse or so and then kind of guide some meditation, and then leave some silence. So hopefully this isn't, well, it's okay if it's weird for you or strange for you, I don't mind. But maybe God might do something. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country. Imagine now you are Mary walking on this journey. The angel's words fresh on your ears. You're beginning to be aware of the tiniest stirring of something in your womb, though physically you are unable to feel its movements yet. What are you feeling right now for your own road ahead? For your cousin who thought she would never have a child and now is pregnant? For the companionship that you are not on this journey alone? There, Mary entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. I invite you now to imagine that you are Elizabeth. You've spent the last 5+ months in seclusion as the reality of your blessedness replaces in you the narrative of your disgrace and disappointment. And at the sound of your cousin's voice, you feel your child leap in your womb. What is it like to have this internal sense of God's nearness? To realize that the whole purpose for your own child's life, indeed the life of the whole world, has just walked into the room to be with you. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, imagine you are Elizabeth, already filled with this living, moving sacrament of God's grace inside of you. But now there is a new and different filling. Something new has entered into you. What is this like? What does it feel like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Imagine having this thing inside of you that must come out. Not yet the child, but spiritual words that God has given to breathe through your vocal cords and out into reality in a loud and joyful voice. Elizabeth cried, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." You can see that this young woman in front of you is glowing in a way that no other woman ever has. That this tiny body contains an as yet invisible life that gave birth to all life in the beginning and will bring light and life to all people. What is it like to bear witness to this work of God before you? Elizabeth continues, "And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" You are overwhelmed with the privilege, the completely unexpected and undeserved blessing of being right here, right now. Feel the sense of humbleness, knowing at once that you could never have earned what you are currently experiencing, and yet somehow by grace, you belong right here. "For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy." Imagine again that you are Mary, hearing these words spoken to you. Perhaps your own child is still not quite real to you yet. But this child, still being formed in the darkness, and this woman standing in front of you can sense the presence of God in you. What is it like to simply by your presence be the bearer of joy to someone else? What is it like to see someone respond to God in you? "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Now imagine being yourself. Yourself being deeply rooted in God's promises, standing or sitting alongside Elizabeth and Mary, not necessarily in a physical place, but among them in their trust in God's faithfulness. Imagine being with them in the confidence that God has fulfilled his promises to love and save and liberate the world, in this unexpected but beautiful way, in this shocking but intimate form. How would your humanity flourish as you draw life from the sure promises of God through roots of faith? How does it feel to become the one filled with the Holy Spirit, with the life of Christ yourself? What is it like to have the presence of God evident in you, to be a bearer of joy as you enter the room? I don't expect anyone to share, but if maybe you've received a word that you'd like to share with the community, I invite you to do that now, if you'd like to. Okay. Continue to ponder. I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing. This is a Carmelite prayer. Lord our God, loving Father, Mary went with haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth in her hour of need. May we too rejoice in the Lord when we can hurry to see people to bring them the Lord as we share in their needs and their joys. With Mary, may we become a blessing to them. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.